People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is back in town. Spurs got revenge against Arsenal. And Mitrovic returns to Newcastle.
Jose Mourinho, the man who stole the show. You're the special one, and you're dynamo. Whoa, whoa,
Jose Mourinho.
We love you,
special Jose. We love you. You're welcome back anytime.
Ding dong,
not ring ahead.
Yeah. Ding dong.
The wicked witch is dead
again.
Bless him.
Oh, hey, nah. I've never known Paul Pogba to be so happy.
Yeah,
I think he was even happier after the when they won the World Cup.
Apparently he was high-fiving at training.
Yeah.
His reports have to be believed.
And yeah. To high-five.
Michael Carrick had a word with everybody.
Yeah.
But you know, in the way that, you know, he's really having a word with one person.
Yeah. But he said it to everyone.
Yeah, but everyone's playing along.
Look, stop shaving stuff into your head, guys. And I'm talking to everyone here.
Yeah,
you, Fellaini, you've gone too wild.
Can you imagine?
Paul, you can't have LOL shaved into your head today.
Oh, no, that's going to be a risk, isn't it, for the weekend? No,
I had already planned to have LOL shaved in my head. Yes. It's just a coincidence.
It was a scheduled shave.
Yeah.
I've only shaved, yes, see ya, in the side of my head.
Can you imagine Michael Carrick shouting at someone? I can't.
No.
Nah, not really. He seems like a nice chap. But what do you think about the... I mean, people have been on the old Twitter saying, oh, I can't believe that Jose Mourinho was fired the day after recording. I mean, we recorded on a Monday and a Thursday, so it's not the end of the world for us, is it?
Exactly.
Yeah, I would have preferred it to happen on the Monday morning, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that way you get... Fresh. This way you get to have a good run-up at it, don't you?
Was it before or after on the continent?
Before that.
Oh, that's fine, isn't it?
We talked about his potential next destinations on the continent, which is out now. So if you want a serious, sober, European-flavoured analysis of Jose Mourinho, go listen to that.
Mm. Yes, you're right, Luke. That was a more serious take on Jose Mourinho.
At times.
Yeah, you won't find us being too serious about it.
No.
And my favourite thing is that a financial expert said that sacking Jose Mourinho has increased Manchester United's value by about £170 million.
I'm putting the boot in.
That much?
Wait, look,
that
what was I saying earlier on? Shareholders, guys.
Is
I have one eye on the bottom line.
Is that a projection based on the money he'd waste in January, though?
Yeah.
That's the Lowry bill.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. Oh, they are gutted.
How often do you reckon he changed his sheets and all that stuff?
Oh, well, I worked out that the £537,000 that the which is reportedly the bill at the Lowry for Mourinho, is about just over £600 a night.
Which is, so that's just for
the
basics.
That would just be for the
that's
suite
not,
or something.
That's not a bad rate for the Lowry. And also, like, that's probably what he would pay in rent if he rented a really nice mansion.
£600 a night.
You'll stay in some nice places, you.
Yeah.
You Airbnb it, so I don't know how you would know what the rate would be.
Presumably that doesn't include, like, room service and stuff, which he'd be all over.
Oh, Jim, I hate to think what the actual
I imagine it looks like, you know, the hotel room at the end of in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
They've just absolutely destroyed it. I imagine it's similar to
there's a lot of Partridge references, but I'm just thinking about the actual funk when you sort of go in.
Yeah.
And it's just,
I don't think Mourinho's the kind of guy who's got like poor issues with like personal hygiene.
I was going to say,
if you're
resident in a place for too long, like just for too long.
I know what you mean, cabin fever.
Room, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think it would be spotless. I think that he would phone up the cleaners all the time and go, come on. There's a
set your watch by it.
There's a Peter.
Clean as anything,
Peter.
Yeah. And to be semi-serious for a moment, if anything, we only can really reiterate what we said on Monday, which is that like the situation was clearly becoming untenable. There was way he's going to turn it around. The lowering of expectations has been masterful for him up to a point. And it continues to be masterful because he signed a new contract earlier this year and walks away with a huge amount of money as a payoff, which obviously, as we know, is part of his MO these days. And, you know, good on him. It's good work if you can get it. But I can understand. I don't know anything about the financial markets, as you guys will no doubt be unsurprised to hear.
You bought Bitcoin.
I did. I still got it. I can understand why, as far as I understand it, why the value of the club's gone up, because clearly it's all about positivity, right? It's all about future. It's all about Man United's value is based around effectively winning trophies and being a huge brand. And now that cloud has been lifted. Clearly, they can get to being positive about it again. And that's, for me, the only way you can rationalise the frankly ludicrous appointment of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who's just going to come in there, be nice, and give him all a lift and be friendly on his six-month loan from his other job.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they just want a quite almost populist appointment, don't they, to appease people and think, all right, this season's gone weird again, so we'll make the best of it while we can. I think this probably means that the perhaps waiting for Pochettino, maybe, or going to try and get him in the summer. I don't know how successful they'll be with that. But it's sort of like there has to be an acceptance at Man United that they've got to change things in the structure of the club. They need a director of football. They need a better transfer strategy. And also, you know, I'm sure they're all aware of this, and as many Man United fans are aware of it, they have to accept that, like, they are just one club among a lot of big clubs now, rather than the biggest, and that's those days are gone.
I do take that point, but I don't know if that's immediately relevant to the situation they're in. Purely, and the reason I say that is purely because the way they've sort of run things recently off the pitch, and we talked about on the pitch a lot, but the way they've run it off the pitch, it would disgrace a small club, really, wouldn't it? And so the reason they brought Mike Phelan in, he's, you know, a bit of an old pair of hands.
That is your 170 million.
Mike, more than a Phelan. He's going to go there and help out. But we can't get away from the fact that, one, Ed Woodward, who's been running things at the club commercially, is a very slick operator and very well respected, but football side of it, he's out of his depth, and he has been for some time, but nothing's been done about it. And the reason nothing's been done about it is because the Glazers are making their money, and that's really all they care about. But they need to bring someone in. You're absolutely right, Jim. And not only that, they need to bring someone in a director of football role before they hire their permanent manager, so that the permanent manager knows the situation he's going into.
Absolutely right.
That's really important.
Well, this
is
perhaps why they're buying their time, is, or, you know, biding their time and having this quite strange appointment of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, so that they can get this in place. So on the face of it, it might look like it's quite a weird appointment, but they do have to stop and breathe. That's perhaps been the problem in the post Ferguson time. They haven't taken this time to go, hang on, we need to question everything that's happening about the club and the structure of the club.
They've seen a mid-table abyss.
Yeah.
And it's not that bad.
But they haven't, it's not that they've hired Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. They've hired the Clive Tilsley commentary from 1999 saying, and Solskjaer has won it.
Yeah, yeah.
And hoping that's going to be enough for the next 6 months.
Loaned it.
Solskjaer has that famous clip of him in a post-match where he's asked about Liverpool's chances of winning the title when he was at Cardiff, I believe. And Solskjaer just turns to the guy and says, I couldn't give less of a toss, like, and just walks off.
Because he loves United.
Because he loves United so much. And I think that had a lot to do with it, especially getting fired after the Liverpool result as well.
Yeah. He was Man United reserves coach for three years, I think, which on one hand doesn't mean that much, but he is aware of the runnings of the club from a coaching point of view. He's not just a former player.
No, there's a clip of him coaching, and it really makes me giggle because he's got a very high voice, and when he gets excited, he's going, "If you guys are boss, take a shot, take a shot."
Yeah, I've seen that.
Granted, now take a shot.
I mean, really, like,
not bad advice, to be honest. In the Man United 2018,
it is slim pickings, though. I mean, if you think
it's very slim pickings, but I think what Jim said is, you know, he may be a populist choice, which is all in vogue in Europe, sadly, these days. But he does know the runnings of the club a little bit from that stint as reserve manager.
That was 7 years ago, to be fair.
Yeah, but I'm saying that he is aware from a coaching point of view a little bit of the club.
So standards expected.
Yeah, true. No, I'm just saying, this is not...
Here's a question for you then, Marcus. If he didn't score that winner in the Champions League final in 1999, is he considered for the job?
Of course.
I don't think he is.
No.
Obviously, don't take it literally. The point is, he's written himself into Man United folklore by doing that,
which
gives him a far better chance.
Okay, so he's a popular figure at the club and might appease...
Partly because of that, right?
Yeah, of course, yes, of his career. So if you're going to go for somebody... But he is also a coach. I mean, it's only Mulder, or however you pronounce it. So he's an actual coach. This is... this is not, say, Monaco getting in Thierry Henry, who had no experience as a number
one. But that's a big story, isn't it? I think if you got, like, I don't know, Big Sam in until the end of the season, that just continues, that just starts a new narrative.
Yes.
This is very much, it's like Ryan Giggs been taken over for a few months.
It's almost like saying, don't worry about it. There's nothing
to
see here.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. When it's not really news that he's here. Just we've got him for the next 4 months. Let's just go with that, and we'll.
And I think you'll have the feel good factor around the place because of Solskjaer for a bit anyway. Obviously, the results
or the negativity vacuum.
I think that's basically it. I think what they're looking at now is they're not going to get someone in permanently because they need to reassess the whole bloody thing. So it is until the end of the season.
And it's also hard to prize manage at this point.
Completely. So what do you do? So, as you say, Peter, I think you're right. They nothing to see here, all that kind of stuff.
When Keggy returned to Newcastle. took him down almost. But then Alan Shearer finished it off.
Exactly. I mean, former players is not always a good idea.
I do think that with Solskjaer, it's a case of... I mean, United still need to understand that they are an elite club, right?
Sure.
You can't just... I know he's a coach.
But this is Roberto Di Matteo going to Chelsea, I would say more.
Yeah, I think it's a similar thing.
Yeah. But, won the Champions League, did they not?
Yeah, they did, and that went fine. But the point I was going to make was just that, yes, it's fine to remove negativity from a club and replace it with positivity, and we can all understand why people are doing that. But at some point, I wonder whether they sort of forgot that they're Man United.
And
that positivity isn't necessarily going to translate over when you're dealing with elite players. You're talking about someone who's notable, like Paul Pogba, who's their most expensive player, if you don't count Sanchez, who's out at the moment. In terms of wages, you can't seriously understand or expect a player like him who's been so difficult already, okay, that might have been a clash of personalities, to be fine with the idea of, oh yeah, I know, but he's quite smiley and he scored a goal 20 years ago. So,
which is why they've brought in Mike Phelan as well.
More than a Phelan.
Mike, more than a Phelan. Carrick has been on the coaching staff. He'll still be there. Now, I'm not saying, no, don't worry, guys, Carrick's there. There's your fourth spot. But I think that the whole coaching staff... the thing is, what I don't really disagree that
elite,
much with anyone saying, because
level,
I do think it's a bit of a ridiculous
appointment. They should be bringing someone, an elite level coach in, if they want a temporary coach. But the problem is, an elite coach wants to put his own stamp on the club, will want to elevate his own career further.
And want to stay there longer.
And want to stay there longer, which starts another narrative completely. Yeah, yeah. What if that coach starts doing it amazingly? This is kind of a perfect free hit for Man United. He has to go back to Mulder unless they want to keep him.
Yep.
They're not going to keep him because he's Ole Gunnar fucking Solskjaer, excuse my language. But it's a perfect situation. If it goes badly, he disappears.
Right.
If it goes well, thanks very much, club legend, cemented, see you later.
For me, it's almost like it's not that they've forgotten that they're Man United. It's like they're sort of scrambling around down the back of the sofas,
trying to find
their Man Unitedness, and hoping that will dig them out of this situation.
But I think this shows that they are thinking that they are Man United, so they're doing that with Solskjaer. Whereas what they really need to find is a manager to them, what Gus Hiddink was to Chelsea.
Well, yeah, quite.
And the problem is that if you go for someone like Gus Hiddink, it's kind of like, oh, well, he's a bit. If you go for a manager who's a bit established and whatnot, it is a kind of a bit of a plea and a bit of we don't know where we're going, you come and save us. Whereas if they point Solskjaer, it's kind of like, no, we know what we're doing, he's a former guy, he understands. It's a bit like that sort of Barcelona ethos of doesn't really matter what your CV is, if you've got the DNA of this club, you can come here. And I think that's what they're doing, and we shall see if it comes back to bite them on the arse.
Get the Singh family, you know, the Sikh guys that sit behind the dugout in every match and have done for the last 20 years.
They've been near enough.
Get them in the dugout.
Get them a row in front.
Yeah.
It's not a big change, is it?
No,
They've seen feast and famine. Get them involved.
Free hit.
They haven't seen famine. They're Man United fans. One person who's got his feet up in front of the cauldron, having a good time at this point, is Neil Warlock.
Yeah,
ahead of the game this weekend.
Did he conjure up something against them?
Oh, big Ollie coming back against his old club.
Cardiff are 11-2 to inflict more misery on Man United than win the game this weekend. £10 with Bet365 returns at £65, including stake. You don't know what elixirs he's got up his wizard sleeve. That's all I'm saying.
Do you think he'll be gutted to not be facing Mourinho?
I don't think he gives a damn.
I think he smells blood.
I think
and he's gonna put it in a potion.
I think that. Who on earth would have thought last week that we would be referring to this game as the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer derby?
Yeah,
quite.
Well, but that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, if Man United fans want to get positive about this Solskjaer thing, notwithstanding all the stuff we've talked about there, they really are going to have to get selective amnesia about his time at Cardiff. Because I know it's a different situation, but it was bad.
It was very bad.
The thing is, though, if they win And if they win in a way that isn't completely turgid, as they were doing under Mourinho when they did win, it'll be a boost, right? That'll feel really positive. When it comes to the reality of watching that game, it'll be, hopefully for them, an injection of positivity that they need. And the thing that fascinates me about this, if I may bring it back to Jose for a bit as well before we talk about Cardiff, is like, if Mark Hughes, who I find very tedious, gets sacked, I don't care what happens next. When Jose Mourinho gets sacked, who I find far more tedious, I'm fascinated by what he does next.
He's got an X-Factor, that's why.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he's got an X-Factor.
Thing.
And if you are interested in what's next for Jose, genuinely, On the Continent is out now, and Andy and James do a really good analysis of the options available to him, and it's well worth a listen. But I've noticed about Cardiff in the Premier League, they've gone loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss.
Oh.
Literally. So they're due a win, and they could have a win at home to Man United this weekend on that entirely scientific analysis.
I read a very interesting thing about Callum Patterson and how Neil Warnock has moved him from being a sort of very, very sort of bustling, robust midfielder to a focal point up front. And it's really been working for them because he's very, very good in the air. And it's just giving them a little bit extra, a little bit of muscle that they've needed.
I think Patterson's got a lot of potential, you know. He's got four goals in the Premier League this season already.
He's quite young as well.
Yeah, he's 24, I think. He looks like he's one of those guys that at first glance,
why is that lorry driver playing for
Cardiff? Yeah, he looks a bit of a donkey with respect, if there is respect in that statement. But he's actually quite versatile. I mean, he's played like right back before and stuff. Mm. You know, so he's got a lot of strings to his bow. And I think this could be, sadly for Cardiff fans, if they were to get relegated, it could be one of the guys who breaks through in a sort of almost Andy Robertson type way. I'm not saying he's good as Andy Robertson, but you understand
what
I
mean. Yeah, I know it's comparable. I know what you're saying. I wish Man United have gone for a Brucey bonus, you know, former players and all that.
Did you hear Paul Ince?
No.
He spent ages on the radio saying that he thinks it should be Mark Hughes or Steve Bruce. And people were saying,
good God.
People were saying, literally like saying, have you not seen what they've been doing recently? What? I would have more respect for it if he just said, and I've met Paul Ince, he's a nice chap, but I would have more respect for him if he just went, do you know what?
I'd like the job.
Do you know what, Pete? Mark Hughes and Steve Bruce, they're my friends.
Yeah.
I like them personally. So I'd like to see the Man United.
I think he's saying that. So
that's
people,
what he means.
No, but I think he's saying that to remember the generation before Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah.
Brian Robson, get him in. Player manager.
Yeah, Robbo back.
But you're right, Luke, because if Pete got the job, I'd be absolutely delighted. Like, I would be ecstatic and so pleased with Pete. It'd be an absolute disaster.
But you're not punditing saying he should get
it. Exactly, exactly. Right, we must move on. Wolves are playing Liverpool at home. Liverpool kick the weekend's action off on Friday night, of course, in Wolverhampton. And if Liverpool win here, of course, they'll be 5 points ahead of Manchester City. It's that kind
four,
of thing.
Four, I believe.
Four. Points ahead of Manchester City.
Put the pressure on them.
Well, this is it, isn't it? We've not seen this City team have to sort of catch up. Certainly not since Guardiola's really got them clicking and being the team that he wants them to be. So it'd be interesting to see what that does to their mindset. And I'm excited by that. They've got a title race on.
On the Wolves side of the ledger, they've had a great December. You know, I mean, we've had a few Wolves fans get in touch saying that we haven't mentioned them enough, and you know, apologies for that. Of course, we can't mention every team every week, but to be fair, they've had a great December. They beat Chelsea, which we did talk about, I think, and they beat Newcastle United away from home. With apologies to Mr. Donaldson, and they followed that up with a solid win against Bournemouth. Who, let's not forget, because the way the Premier League coverage goes these days, Bournemouth were flavour of the month about 6 weeks ago, weren't they?
Well, that's
right. Talking about them, and Wolves dispatched them, you know, 2-0. So Wolves are definitely definitely a concern in this game. They don't score many goals today.
Well, that's the problem.
But they're quite solid.
They're very solid at the back. I mean, Santa was purring at their defensive performance against Bournemouth, was it you were saying, 1-2-0.
Yeah.
And they've only conceded 19 goals, which only the top four sides have conceded less than them. So they've got the fifth best defensive record in the league, I believe, at the moment, and which is very impressive. But they've only scored 19 as well.
Yeah.
I think they're the lowest scorers in the top 13,
I mean,
if you will.
They've conceded 10 fewer goals than Man United this
year. Yeah, that's crazy. And I think the thing that I'm so impressed with Wolves about is how they don't fear anyone, do they? They relish these sort of games. Like, a lot of teams in Wolves' positions, having come up, even when you're doing well and you're flying high,
I quite like,
want to be playing Liverpool, but I don't think they'll approach
but
it.
But I quite
like
the way Nuno's approached it, because the first, it might have even been the first 10 games of the season, didn't change a thing. And it was almost like he was saying, look, we'll give you a chance to breathe, give you a chance to get used to it. And when I did the Ramble Meets with Matt Taylor, he talked a lot about getting promoted with Portsmouth into the Premier League, but he got injured at the end of the season, right? So for the start of the next season, the Premier League, he wasn't ready. And he said it was astonishing how difficult it was when he first started. And so I think Nuno's been aware of that. And he said, you know, we've worked really hard to get here. I'm going to give you trust and give you time to get things right. Of course, that's a big gamble, but it started okay for them, didn't it?
You did.
And now he's starting to make changes around.
And they are a much more well-resourced club than some other teams around them, is that fair to say?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, that goes without saying, of course. But the credit where credit's due. And I think that you're right, Luke, when he stuck with his side. Yes, it's a gamble. If you stick with your side for the first 10 games and you end up getting 2 points or something, you think, why on earth did you not change it? But there is something to be said for that. And I think, you know, if you look at, say, Fulham, Jukanovic was just like, okay, let's change it up every week. Mm. And you'd rather have a settled side.
And Mourinho did that as well.
Well, he did, yeah. It never seems to really work that way if you're changing all the time. You need a settled side and then start tweaking it here and there. And that's what he's done. And as you say, there's no talk of Wolves going down. They are, yes, they have the money, Peter, you're absolutely right, but you've got to spend it wise. You've got to do something with that. There's no point in having a platform and not knowing what to do with it.
Do Wolves live in boroughs?
No, don't good. Think they do. Right. No.
Okay. Nothing I say next will make any sense.
Right. Carry on then.
Say it anyway.
No, carry on.
Okay. Well, if I may go back to my point.
I thought you finished your point.
Is that they are acting, as soon as they got into the Premier League, it's like, we are a Premier League club. Yeah. We're not a newly promoted side. We're not here to make up the numbers. We're not going to try and scrape results. We are established now. We're going to be in for the Premier League for a long time. They have that aura about them, Jim, that you perhaps were saying earlier. And yes, of course, that helps with the money. It helps with established styles and so on. But you've still got to execute
it. I think that's right. I was at Molineux earlier in the season, and the impression you got from speaking to people around there is just not that we're in the Premier League. It's like we're back where we belong now.
Exactly.
And it's easy to say that when you've got backing, but the mentality is so important.
And for a club that's not been in the Premier League that much, they were always the side years ago who everyone always thought, are they ever going to come up? Now, they did, of course.
They came up twice, once in 2003 and once after that as well.
Yeah, but before 2000, the early noughties, whenever it was, they were always hanging around the top half of the Championship. They never quite did it. So if they get into the Premier League, there could be a bit of a vibe around the club going, oh, how long is this going to last? That doesn't seem to be there. We see with Manchester City struggling, not so much these days so much, but maybe in the Champions League, they didn't, but we've not got any pedigree in this competition. Mm. It's taken a little while to get rid of that. Whereas Wolves, it doesn't seem to be a problem. Mm. So there we are against Liverpool. It'd be an interesting one.
Yeah, they're 6-1 Wolves to beat Liverpool with Bet365. £10 return, £70 including stake. Yeah, it wouldn't be the biggest surprise ever if they were to inflict Liverpool's first Premier League defeat this season. So
well, it would be for Dejan Lovren.
Be a great start. Yeah. Oh yeah, he's been chipping off again. It would. how can they lose a game when they've got the best defender in the world?
Misquoted him there.
Well, I did it on purpose. but a great game to start off the weekend's football, though.
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so, brother man. And let's finish the first half in fantastic fashion with some emails with Petey D.
Yeah, just a quick couple.
Where's the bees?
A pre-Christmas treat, if you want them. Yeah, you can have
them. I love the bees.
Pete's trying to transition away from the bees and perhaps into something new. Yeah. And you're...
Oh, no, there it is. Not the bees!
Sorry, Pete.
You've got mail.
There was always just a mixed kind of like feeling, so I never know whether you guys want it or not.
I for the record, let's do this. Let's air
all right,
our dirty
laundry. Right,
let's vote. A little production meeting. I always, referendum on it.
I always want it unless it's going to be replaced with something even better. So
okay.
Yeah.
Marcus, bees or no bees? To be or not to be?
I'll have the Norwegian bees, please.
Bees for me, please.
Right, okay. I like the bees too, so the bees stay.
I thought you were a bit
down on it. I don't know what Marcus's vote was.
No, hang on. I thought you were...
It's unanimous.
I was projecting... On to you guys.
My vote actually was with Luke. If there's something better, great.
The referendum has been. The referendum is clear. Beegsit means Beegsit.
Let's have another referendum. Okay. Johnny Gibson, may I just say that Jim Campbell's voiceover work on recent Ramble adverts is quite tremendous, and I feel this needs to be appreciated.
There you go.
That's nice.
Sweet. Thank you.
Well, yeah.
We are all available for more.
I mean, I don't think Jim's bad at it. I haven't taken the time to tell you, Jim. Yeah, but you were, as a great Elvis said, you're always on my mind. There are things I could have said and done. I just never took the time. You're always on my mind.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Hi, lads. Loving the increased Neil Warnock Warlock coverage on the show following his promotion back to the Premier League.
It's a story that needs to be told.
It really is. I remember listening to an interview with ex-pro Michael Brown. Pro's a bit rough, isn't it?
Hang on a minute.
Whoa.
You're like a career brownie.
Yeah. But
he saw him on a bike that time, didn't
you?
Yeah,
he's a bit being of a party boy, wasn't he? The team, Brown said that the team for the Saturday game had been announced at the start of the week and that the 11 had been training meticulously all week in preparation. Midfielder Andy Parkinson had been selected for a rare start. However, on the morning of the game, Warnock sat the starting 11 down and announced that Parkinson would no longer be joining the starting 11 because Mrs. Warnock had had a dream the previous night that Paul Pescasson Salido, the other midfielder, and Marcus Lookalike would score that afternoon and so would be starting in his place. To make matters worse for Parkinson, Warnock decided he no longer wanted a place in the matchday squad and he was told to keep his suit on and watch from the stands.
Wow.
There you go. He's definitely a Warnock. Well, even his wife's doing incantations.
Pesca Salido did not score. In
so that just means that Neil's wife, you know,
a little crush on
what it means, Jim.
Salido, right?
Karen Brady said hands off. Some of the incantations will be false.
It's a bit Ramon Dominesh.
A little bit.
A little
bit. Barry Fry.
Yeah. Love a bit of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. If you want to get to the show,
show@thefootballramble.com. Yeah. Pete always gets confused about email addresses.
Yeah.
Well, I do 50 podcasts. That's right.
Yeah. Right, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we're going to talk about Everton Spurs. See you in a moment.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
There's no doubt what I have done on Saturday after the game is disgusting.
Merry Christmas.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody.
Hopefully people are still enjoying 12 rounds of Christmas, Marcus.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
I've got one every day between now and Christmas Eve inclusive.
Is today video games? I think it's fair to say that it's...
I don't think it is.
I don't give it away.
I think it might
be...
It's already out.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe. I think it might be Outfield Players and Goal today.
Oh, no. Outfield Players and Goals were yesterday.
Oh, was it? Okay.
So video games should be today.
Okay.
Very much my forte.
Getting the thumbs up from over there. Pete Donaldson, a Pete Donaldson driven video games and football special.
Right into the wall.
It was wonderful.
So much so, actually, that we played FIFA on a weird mode afterwards, didn't we? Going up and down the pitch.
Yeah,
you got sick. I enjoyed it. I quite like it.
He gave me...
You got like... Travel sick, didn't you?
It was scurvy, actually. But anyway, Everton are at home to Tottenham Hotspur, who beat Arsenal in the League Cup 2-0. Apparently it was only the second time Spurs have won away at Arsenal since 1993.
Really annoying that. We had one of those recently. I had a derby recently. It was knackering. I was hoping after that it was just done.
Yeah,
from now on, don't play the league results, just a draw every time. If it's a cup game, the mascots take penalties. It's too stressful. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Arsenal very much did approach the game in that fashion.
Yeah. Well, Arsenal actually were unlucky with some chances. I mean, they had their moments.
Yeah, I got the feeling that Spurs were sort of in control of the game, though.
Yeah, true.
They were okay.
The nature of the goals suggests
that.
The tactics worked very well.
Yeah, Son, obviously, with a lovely goal, but Dele Alli, Donaldson.
Good. I thought, when somebody posted on the WhatsApp group, "That's a lovely goal." I was like, I thought we were talking about the Sun goal. I was like, yeah, it was all right. And then I was in the middle of, I was on the radio and I was talking and I actually went, "Welcome to Absolute Radio." It was so, I saw it out of the corner of my eye. I was going,
"What a goal.
Did he just do that?" Amazing.
And that ball through from Kane came about a minute after he came on.
Yeah.
It was incredible, really.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Just the way
he sort of strokes it like a golf club. Yeah, magical.
Yeah, but there's also a sort of dismissive kind of nature to it as well, isn't it?
I don't need you anymore, ball.
Cast that to the side.
Yeah. Cantona-esque, very Cantona-esque.
If you're interested in what Pete sent on the WhatsApp group when Dele scored the goal, with apologies for the bad language that Pete might want to bleep later, I hadn't seen Dele's goal. Fuck a duck and then spoon it to sleep and start a life with it and make a more honest duck out of it. That sums up how you felt about that goal.
Lovely one. You rarely get to see goals of such quality in any sphere of football.
I hate to bring the mood down, but I'm going to have to do it ever so slightly, very quickly. Obviously, very disappointing to see Dele Alli hit with the bottle from someone in the crowd again.
Yeah.
And that's notable anyway. That's worthy of discussion and worthy of condemnation, of course. But It's a bit. I'm not equating it with the incidents we've seen over the last couple of weeks, but I'm starting to notice a bit of a pattern. Or I'm sure we all are of the way people in the crowd at football games are starting to behave.
It's entitlement for me.
Unacceptable.
Yeah,
needs to be stopped. And good on Dele Alli for putting his fingers up, because I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with giving a bit back. Again, just people stop doing this. Just stop. People who do, I like to think people who listen to our show aren't doing it.
Yeah,
but if you are thinking about it,
they won't be that accurate.
Yeah. If you're thinking about it, don't do it.
Yeah,
don't
be. It's got to the point. It's beyond un-Fulhamish.
Yeah, absolutely. It is absolutely right.
Bloody right.
And can I also finish off by saying that Gazzaniga is an excellent keeper. Whenever I see him, he's always very good.
Yeah, didn't he have a personal connection with Pochettino?
So it was funny, because when he was at Southampton, he moved to Spurs either with Pochettino or very shortly afterwards, and people were making the joke that he's from the same hometown as him.
That's right.
And he just fancies a bit of a taste of home.
But he's proven himself.
But he's done really well. He's really improved. Now, every time I've seen him, he's been excellent. He really has.
Clean sheet against Arsenal. Always to be cherished, Jim.
Can't
always
be bad.
To be cherished.
Look forward to Spurs inevitably either piling in against Chelsea or losing the final against Man City.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, let's be honest, what a lovely old draw for Manchester City there. Yeah. I mean, for any neutral, you're thinking, oh, you know, it might be interesting for Pochettino to get that first trophy win or something like that.
And, nah.
We know you're not specifically thinking that, Jim.
You prefer... Well, anyway, let's not get into how Manchester City got their money. But Manchester City against Burton Albion, but Chelsea against Tottenham Hotspur. Gianfranco Zola was pleased to get Spurs, obviously, in the Chelsea backroom staff, because he wanted some sort of revenge over them. And I thought, well, could end up badly like it did
last
time.
It's hard to call that one, isn't it?
It is.
Over two legs.
Yeah, but we look forward to it, certainly. Spurs, at the moment in the league, are 6 points off Liverpool at the top. They don't face any big sides over the Christmas period. Now, Liverpool play Arsenal on the 29th of December. Then Liverpool play Manchester City on the 3rd of January. Mm. That is a biggie. Mm. Which I'm surprised, because it wasn't that long ago they played in the league. So that'll be those two, in terms of league games, that'll be that done and dusted between the two of them. But going back to Spurs, can people start to take Spurs' title challenge a little bit more seriously now?
Well, I said that either on Monday or last week that, you know, they've got to be considered dark horses. They really have, purely because they've played, and I mentioned this at the time, they've played a lot of away games.
Yeah. Mm.
They've had a lot of upheaval, and they're still really, I mean, as close as anyone can be, it's keeping pace with what is a record-breaking season, literally, for other teams. So, When I don't personally agree with this being allowed, but that's another story. When all these front-loaded away games get out of the way, which they sort of seem to have done now, and Spurs start playing a lot of home games in the second half of the season, potentially, we're led to believe, in a new stadium, which you'd think would give them a boost anyway if they handle that properly when they actually get in there. I mean, you know, it's not beyond the realms of possibility they could go close.
Yeah,
I mean, they really could.
I mean, I find it very impressive that they've not drawn a game yet. They have lost four, which is obviously, you know, I think they probably don't have many losses left if they want to sort of stay in touch with the title. But not drawing a game, it just shows you how good they are at like grinding stuff out when they absolutely have to.
That Burnley game, for example.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
But Danny Murphy was saying on the TV, I think it was on the TV or the radio a while back, saying in context of Spurs not signing any players and how, you know, it's a disaster. And Murphy obviously can be quite sort of cantankerous.
Yeah.
And sometimes he says it just for, you know, just for sake of a good old-fashioned debate. But he was saying, and I sort of was quite convinced by it, he was talking about his time at Fulham and saying that it's great when you're playing well and you've got a settled team. Everyone knows their jobs. And maybe one person drops out and someone comes in, but they know their job. Mm-hmm. And it can really galvanise you. You all know what you're doing every week. And he said there's absolutely no excuse just to sign in players for the sake of it. So it might, I mean, it sounds like a bit of a sort of PR job by Pochettino saying, oh, I'm pleased we didn't sign anyone or whatever. But it could work in their favour.
Sure. If
they don't tie down the stretch, it could work in their favour.
Yeah, and I think as well, a few months ago, again, all this sort of stadium business, where are they going to play? That can cause a bit of confusion and unrest among the players. Certainly did with the fans and also with Pochettino, when he just hinted that, oh, you know, I don't know about staying here long term, or whatever he said. Now, again, take that with a pinch of salt, of course.
But he basically implied that he's tired of batting that question away. So
yeah, and who knows? Whereas now Spurs, they have kicked on. They're through in the Champions League. They're playing Dortmund, which is, both sides will fancy that.
Yeah.
And it could be...
That should be a hell of a game.
It should be a great time.
I think it's really a title draw, personally.
In terms of entertainment, quite possibly. I don't know. They've four losses, what was it, Arsenal away? I mean, that's a derby, so that can happen, and Arsenal were particularly good. They lost to Liverpool and Manchester City at Wembley.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, I think what we were highlighting, certainly, and others were, is that they were distinctly second best in those games. And I think they lost away to Watford, was it?
They did lose away to Watford. Yeah. So I was at the Man City game, and it was just a bit of a drab affair.
I don't think it would happen now if they played each other.
There was a pitch situation.
There was, but
I think non-starter. Really.
But I think now Spurs seems to have sort of got themselves together, because when we looked at the table a few months ago, a month or two ago, people were thinking, "Oh, blimey, yeah, Spurs, they're having a better season than one thought because of the odd defeat here and there and the manner of it." Well, I just think they're getting themselves together.
I also think, actually, everyone's looking at this stadium thing as if it's going to be a big problem for them, that they couldn't move when they wanted to and they'd be at Wembley for too long. But actually, if they're in form, which there's no reason to expect they won't be at any point in the season, really, moving into a stadium when you're already in flow and when everybody's up and feeling good is far better than moving in at the start of the season when everyone's sort of recovering from the summer and no one knows what's going to happen and everyone's getting up to speed. So I think...
And looking at the actual footage from inside, it's a very similar, obviously, size to Wembley. It's absolutely gigantic. Fantastic.
Looks like
the curtain raiser might be Newcastle as well. Yeah.
Well, that's the draw between Spurs and Everton is 5-2 with Bet365. So £10 returns, £35, including stakes. Sorry to jump in there, Jim, but I just thought I'd get that in there while I could.
Yeah, I mean, this match is a chance for Marco Silva to pit his wits against one of the big boys.
My opinion of Everton is continually coloured by that performance in September against West Ham, which I think was at home. They got beaten 3-1. Yarmolenko scored a couple, and they were terrible that day.
Yeah, they've improved since then. They've only won once in the last six.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great for them. But I believe in Marco Silva. I mean, at some point, I'm going to have to get to the point where I don't believe in him anymore. But I still do believe in him.
Yeah, we all believe in him. Let's move on then to Newcastle United against Fulham. Mitrovic will be back at his old club. He's just been voted Serbia Player of the Year.
That's not bad, is it?
That's not too shoddy, is it?
He's scored a few goals this season, of course, for club.
You haven't mentioned it.
Yeah. Oh, what's the matter, Peter? You tell us.
I'm just saying he's going to have a less fruitful end to the season that he had.
If you don't want to be with him, let him be happy with someone else.
You're right.
I mean, tell you what, he's in pretty good company, old Mitrovic. I mean, previous winners of this award are Dejan Stankovic, Kolarov, Ivanovic, Matic, Dusan Tadic. Going back a bit further, and players like Savicevic and Mijatovic.
There you go.
What a tradition that is.
He's whacking them in.
And you know how much of a confidence player he is. That'll give him a real boost, I reckon.
I think so.
The problem with I think that match is I think Newcastle. I think they've got like Manchester United and Liverpool. I think they play over the Christmas period.
They definitely play United,
Maybe Chelsea as well. And this might be a chance for them to pull away from the pack, like Jim said last time. But I think the way that Fulham are playing, they're playing quite deep. Mitrovic just does not prosper from a deep lying team. Mm. So there's kind of an argument not to play him when they're defending so deep and when they're trying to get their defence right. It's kind of
They have to play.
I know, but like he does all of his best work in the in yard box, and I think Newcastle might have a chance if they.
But he can pull defenders all over the place. That's the thing.
He can, but what Pete's saying is it's
difficult. He's better in the box, isn't he?
But it's difficult when he's not getting much. He's feeding off scraps.
And Odoi was beaten for pace every time he was taken on against West Ham. He was absolutely beating ends up. And DeAndre Yedlin's back for Newcastle. Rafa seems to really rate Atsu for his pace, if not his delivery.
The problems Fulham have got are, well, the problem was the way they were playing under the old manager, whose name escapes me,
Jukanovic.
But he shuffled it around an awful lot. What they need to do is they need to play McDonald and Seri, and they need to play Kearney in front of them.
Well, Kearney's been out injured for a bit.
He's back now, isn't he?
He's back now, yeah. I mean, Kearney's he's a delightful player. You know, he was one of the best players in the Championship. The problem is he just doesn't get the
defence against, was it against West Ham where Antonio scored? My goodness me. I mean, they've got, that's so basic that you don't, it doesn't matter what players you play. If you're going to do that, you're in trouble.
The real problem for Fulham is that their defence has been very piss poor, as we know, this season. But at the start of the season, we saw them against Spurs at Wembley and it looked like they could ship a load of goals. Now, Spurs only scored 3 goals that day. But Fulham still had something going forward. They still troubled Tottenham.
Fulham had like 20 shots against West Ham. They had their chances. They didn't take them.
And that's what they need to do, because in some games now, with the bad defence, they've sort of gone, oh, crap. And they are just conceding goals and not scoring any. Whereas they actually have a bit going forward. And I think that Ranieri needs to remind them of that as well. Yes, he needs to shore up that defence for crying out loud, but he also needs to say, but remember, you can actually go forward and express yourself.
What Pete's implied there is absolutely correct. I was just looking now against West Ham. They lost 2-0 at home. They had 16 shots to West Ham 6. They had 56% possession, 80% pass success, better than West Ham's. Mm.
Twice as
many dribbles, won more aerial battles than the West Ham did, and still got beat 2-0.
But that shows you that maybe that they're beginning to show a bit more attacking flair. Because, I mean, away to Cardiff, for example, Cardiff just battered them. But what was it, 4-1 or something like that? Which was absolutely ridiculous. But yeah, Fulham have Newcastle away, of course. Then they've got Wolves at home, Huddersfield at home, then Arsenal away. The next three games for Fulham are absolutely crucial because other sides down there are beginning to pick up the odd point or three here and there. Fulham are not. And so against the next three games, they won't be favourites at Newcastle away. They won't be favourites for Wolves at home. They'll Huddersfield at home, that is a huge one. But they need say, at least
five
three.
Points, yeah.
You'd think four, five. Maybe five. You know, they really do need something in the next bit. Before we go to our best bet, what did you make of Dennis Wise's quote recently? Peter, Mike Ashley's mate.
He's popular up there, isn't he, Dennis?
Yeah, I mean, he was recently asked about Big Mike selling the club, and Wise said, "I don't think he will give it to someone who will strip the club. He'll only hand it over to someone who is obviously going to take it in another direction and pile some money in and make it happen for Newcastle." It's good to know that the club is in good hands.
Yeah, it's hard to remove the copper pipes that have already been removed from a derelict building, isn't it?
Mike Ashley is not good at fake news, is he?
It's like, who's saying it? Is it Dennis Wise?
That's it. That's enough.
Yeah. We kind of know
you've given me an image of Mike Ashley on top of a church roof stealing all the
copper. Yeah. Not copper.
Mm-hmm. Whatever
what
it is
are they called? The lightning. Is that lead? Lead.
Yeah, lead.
Stealing lead off the roof.
Yeah.
Maybe I get
don't
poisoned.
Give it to someone who'll strip the club. Mike wouldn't do that.
No.
Mike wouldn't do that.
He's too busy stripping it himself.
Yeah.
Newcastle are currently rated as an 11-2 shot to go down this season. £10 with Bet365 returns £65, including stake, should they drop through that trapdoor.
Mm. They'll be all right.
I think they will as well, actually.
I think they will. But while you're there, Luke, what's our best bet with Bet365?
Step forward, Mr. Dan Coleman.
Oh.
After our last best better flew far too close to the sun. And he says the following. Hello to you, Dan. He says, I fancy the Speller Donaldson derby this week as Fulham travel to Newcastle and Big Mitro is reunited with the manager that didn't believe in him. In typical Newcastle style, I fancy an ex-player to once again get a goal at St. James's Park. But I reckon that Newcastle will have enough to bring home the 3 points. Mm. Therefore, using Bet365's Bet Builder to get odds of 17-2 on Mitro to score at any time, but Newcastle to win.
Oh, good one.
Bring home £475 for Prostate Cancer UK. So that is Mitro to score at any time, but Newcastle to win the game, which will bring £475 in for Prostate Cancer UK on odds of 17-2 with Bet365. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, there is begambleaware.org on your computer.
Nice one, Danny, baby. All right, then, it's time for Going for Gold.
So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, but you to play the game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for
gold. That theme tune was conceived and written and produced by Chopin.
No, it wasn't. No, it was by the guy who did... what's his name again, Jim?
It was Hans Zimmerman.
That's it, Hans Zimmer.
It was Tchaikovsky. John Mayer.
Stop this.
John Mayer has come up with these clues. Thank you, John Mayer. Doing my work. He's... hang on, that's a lie. His name is Nick, but his email address is John Mayer.
The plot thickens.
What's going on here?
Is this a new series of Broadchurch?
Oh... I was born on the 24th of March, 1984, in Arras, France.
Sorry, can you repeat that? Sorry, Peter.
Should have been listening.
I should have, yeah.
Yeah? You heard the music. You insist on the music.
Just repeat the question.
I was born on the 24th of March, 1984, in Arras, France, which I presume is pronounced Arras.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah. Stop. Stop. I'm going to go for, is it Claude Makélélé?
Incorrect.
Stop. Machu Debushi.
Incorrect.
That's a nice guess, though.
Nice. Yeah. Nice, Jim.
Nice profile.
Made my professional debut with Lyon in March 2004, coming off the bench to help secure a 1-0 victory over PSG.
Sorry, what was the team?
Lyon.
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 Lens.
L-E-N-S.
Lyon.
Nothing. I've got nothing.
Matt, carry on. Carry on.
I was capped 34 times for my country, scoring 0 goals.
Stop. Hatem Ben Arfa?
Incorrect.
Stop. Is it Michael Essien?
Incorrect.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Have you had a guess yet, Marcus?
No. I haven't disgraced myself just yet.
I have not dirtied your shots. I have played...
Oh, I have.
I have... just inside. I have played exclusively in the Premier League, the Championship and Ligue 1, making over 100 Premier League appearances, scoring just 4 goals.
Oh. All right. Okay. That's interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah. The heat is on. So the heat is on.
So. I've got nothing here.
No, me either. You say Premier League, Championship, and what else?
Ligue 1.
Oh, okay. I thought you said League One. I was like, that'd be curious. Carry on, I've got nothing, so as far as I'm concerned, you can carry on.
He played like it sometimes. A former manager of mine claimed that I wanted to pursue a career in pornography, which I later denied.
Oh, I think that's a big clue. I remember
come on.
Who was it?
I remember this.
Ah, that's so annoying.
Stop. So, the porn is on.
Not Gibril Cissé.
Incorrect.
No. Stop. Is it Patrice Evra?
Incorrect.
No. Oh, come on, who is it?
Oh. Everyone listening is going to know this now.
Oh, that is so annoying. Jim, come on, son. Bail us out here.
He's one of the more interesting players.
Yeah.
I started in the 2009 League Cup final and held Cristiano Ronaldo to no goals and no assists.
League Cup final?
Stop. It's not William Gallas, is it?
No, it's not.
No.
This is so annoying. God, I'm sorry, everybody.
I apologise to the listeners.
It's on the tip
They're
of
slugs,
my...
man. They're little slugs.
You know.
It's what, Jim?
It's on the tip of something.
Yeah. Okay.
Carry on, Jim. Pete, you got to carry on.
I am. I currently ply my trade in France for Metz, and my former clubs include Lyon, Tottenham, QPR, and Saint-Étienne.
Oh, stop. Benoit Assou-Ekotto.
Oh. Correct!
Yes! Yes.
Get in there. Well done,
Marcus. I haven't wanted one of them for ages.
Good man.
He plays ball for the money.
It was. Yes. I remember the when he denied being a porn star.
Yeah, I also remember him standing in the crowd at QPR. Carry on.
Don't interrupt this. So, the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, what you would have played a game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. Nick. Nick says when he first started supporting Spurs, he was his favourite player.
There we go. Is that wrong with that?
Yeah, a lot of fair. It's quite interesting. It's quite a rich theme. People who got into supporting football teams for kind of strange players, you know what I mean? Like, because Benoit Assou-Ekotto was famously went on record saying he didn't enjoy playing football particularly. He wanted to be a DJ, etc., etc.
There we go.
He did. Was it Harry Redknapp who was in charge at the time said he never knows who we're playing. He just turns up.
Yeah.
Someone said that about Lionel Messi, and I thought, that can't be true.
No,
because I think he could.
Well, the thing is, Harry Redknapp saying that basically means we do no prep on the opposition.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's your job to tell.
Are you trying to tell me, like, Messi turns up to the Nou Camp and goes, "Oh, is it a Clásico? Is it?"
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
And then you're right about doing the prep on the opposition.
Messi just doesn't remember. But I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous.
I think Rob Green's another one, isn't he? He wasn't particularly into football. Prefers cricket, I think.
My friend Bill supports. He's not from the East from London, but he supports Sheffield Wednesday because he and his kid he just loved Chris Waddle.
Yeah, that's one
of the reasons why I talked about
it. But as an adult, though, obviously as a kid, you don't realise the sort of logistical nightmare it's going to become when you actually want to go to games as an adult, because you've got to go to Sheffield every other week. You know?
Yeah, very
true.
There
we go. No one wants to go to Sheffield. No, Sheffield's a lovely place. I don't mean to besmirch the good name of that fine city, city.
Well, if you want to either tell us about weird players that got you into your football team or to have a go at Luke about the Steel City, it's shortthefootballramble.com.
Or sorry about calling you slugs earlier. I was in the heat at the moment, guys. Mm.
Yeah, well, the heat is on.
Yeah, exactly.
But the time wasn't right because you should have waited for the mics to turn off.
But when you got when you got Benoit Assou-Ekotto there, as soon as you said it, I knew it was right.
Yes.
It was one of those ones, wasn't it?
One of those ones, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. Back next Thursday.
Yeah, we're back on the 28th.
Mm. Oh, 28th,
which is a Friday.
Right.
Because of the way the calendar is at Christmas. You've got a 12 Rambles of Christmas special every day now up to including Christmas Eve. Mm. And we'll be back on the 28th, so we'll see you then. Thanks for your support throughout the year, and hope you have a lovely Christmas.
Have a bloody lovely Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. Say goodbye, Lukey.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Bye.
It's goodbye from me. Merry Christmas.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered.
Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.